The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome. Welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of the action on Monday. Also look back at the Cheltenham Festival. Of course, came to an end on Friday. I think we all wish that that it was still going, but it isn't. We've got three races at Kempton to look forward to as well on Monday afternoon. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thank you, Alex.
It is a shame, isn't it, that it's over?
It is in a way, really.
Mm.
Yeah, I couldn't stand that pressure all the time, though, could we?
No, that is
it's
true.
It's a bit intense, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah, I think by Friday I was sort of like, I could do with a couple of days off here just to digest everything.
You could do it with a day in between, couldn't you? A day's breathing.
That's not the worst idea, is it? And then it would finish on a Saturday as well, which I know a few people are trying to push. No, it's one of those things that you just get so caught up in it, don't you? It's a four-day festival, but it goes so quickly.
Once you start, well, I was working on the first day in here, and before we knew where we were, we were three races in.
Yeah.
And you hardly started. It was incredible how quickly it went.
It's one of those things that... I suppose, what do they say? Time flies when you're having fun.
It does indeed.
In terms of highlights of the week then, Mick?
Yeah, there was plenty of highs and sadly plenty of lows as well, weren't there?
Yeah, I mean, we'll start on just... We'll run through each day very briefly. The Tuesday, obviously, very, very impressive winner of the first.
Yeah.
In Vautour, Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh.
Surprised they're talking about going chasing with him. He looked as though certainly worth a crack at the highest level of a hurdle, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But if they think he's going to make a better chase, I mean, Willie Mullins doesn't tend to make many bad decisions. He could be a frighteningly good chaser if that's, you know, if they're thinking that
absolutely
that's the case.
They're horse, isn't he? And they know him better than we do. But
exactly.
You know, just the way that he won the. The Supreme was quite staggering.
It's taking.
You know, the hard way as well. No prisoners taken.
Mm.
And a good race, all the right horses were there, weren't they?
I think one of the races that'll stay in my mind for quite some time was the Arkle. Western Warhorse, must confess, didn't even give it a squeak. Not even an outsider's chance, you know.
It was a typical pipe from left field job, wasn't it?
Mm. But a great ride from Tom Scudamore, and yeah, hard to say that the best horse didn't win as well, because the manner in which he did it was pretty nice, and he's beaten Champagne Fever, who is one of the most solid yardsticks you'll find.
Yeah, and Westerner, his sire, only winner of the week. He did have a couple in the frame, Deputy Dan. There was another one, Cater Burley, I think, was third, and Champagne West finished fourth. But Tom didn't ride him like an outsider, no hope, did he?
No. Well, I mean, having watched it back, he was niggled and cajoled along. But
he had to keep jumping because Champagne Fever was not missing, was he?
No.
He was not missing.
Not at all.
Great horse race. And I think it augurs well for the two-mile division.
Mm. Champion Hurdle, of course, went the way of Jeski, getting the better of My Tent or Yours. I'm certain that Mr. McCoy won't have been best pleased with the outcome there.
I got the Champion Hurdle totally wrong, Alex. I was against the front four in the betting. I thought there were too much of a muchness to me, with very little between them ability-wise, and they were taking too much out of the market. So instead of lumping Jeski and Melodic Rendezvous together, I just... stuck my neck out, went with Melodic Rendezvous, which is as soon as I saw him in the paddock, I knew he wouldn't win. He went to post, terrible, but I was in here working, couldn't do anything about it.
Mm.
And of course, they kept hitting home to me, but Geraghty 4 from 4 and Jeske about to make it 5 from 5, too late to do anything about it. But and of course the race was marred by the death of our Connor, of course.
Of course, that was a sad sight and sad to see and hear.
And bad week for jockeys, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, jockeys.
Jason
Maguire horses,
on the Monday getting badly hurt before the festival even started. Ruby Walsh's season finishing.
Brian Cooper.
Poor Brian Cooper. Now, that does not sound good to me. They're making the right noises, but he had a severe compound fracture of the leg, which is what I suffered, and I still suffer from it to this day. Mm. And that was 50 years ago, nearly. Getting on for 50. Not quite that many.
You look a day of a 48.
You know what I mean. So, a complex compound fracture. Mm. You see, it's not just the bone. The bones heal, but what state are the muscle, your muscle tissue, your nerve ends,
ligaments,
your ankle joint? Mm. If that's, I wish him well, Brian. Mm. And
of course, Darryl Jacob as well.
Darryl Jacobs
had an indifferent. Well, I mean, you could see him so frustrated on what day was it? Was it on Thursday? I think it was.
Had his winner on Friday, and then wasn't it next race?
Yeah, well, on Friday he had Calypto, who was travelling well, and then something amiss with the saddle there, or something went wrong. Fontana, he got home, and then the race after that, going down to post and unshipped. It was just...
On a blink of an eye, Ruby Walsh and Darryl Jacobs' season's over.
Yeah, yeah.
And so despite Ruby finishing top rider at the meeting, he's...
Bittersweet.
Yeah, absolutely, and it just shows the price that we pay.
Just going back to the champion hurdle there, do you think the new one would have won had he not been hampered?
He was very unlucky, wasn't he? And he was finishing like a train. Looking for all the world as though a step up in trip wouldn't hurt him.
Yeah.
Whether he's going to win the champion or not, I don't know. That might have been his time, but it might not hurt him to step up.
Nice horse. Mare's hurdle, of course, went to Quvega. Again, not much really can be said about that.
I was determined not to get involved with any of the short ones at the festival, and I'm pleased I stuck to that policy. And I was unlucky not to collect there in the frame, because the French filly was going great guns when she fell.
Surrender.
Yeah. Mm. So I had 3 fallers on the first day, which got the Mime Eating off to a terrible start, including one of them, poor old R. Connor. Mm. Traumatic first day.
On Wednesday, Faheen landed the opener for the same connections that landed the Supreme.
Almost as impressively as the first win on the first day.
Yeah. They've got some nice horses, haven't they? The Richies must be one of the luckiest racing owners, if you like. Obviously, they do spend the money, but...
I mean, you can spend the money and not get the results, can't you?
Yeah, you
I
can.
Mean,
you
it
can.
It doesn't always go hand in hand, does it?
No, Faheen was pretty taking. The RSA went to O'Phelan's Boy. One of my favourite races, purely because that was my biggest price winner of the week, O'Phelan's Boy.
Yeah, and a well-deserved winner as well. And again, he was sort of the forgotten horse of the race, wasn't he? Mm. And he had a first-rate chance if you delved into it. And well done to Rebecca. Now he developed like last year's RSA winner, who went into the Gold Cup. More on him later. I've forgotten horse, but showed them that the RSA still is worthy of attention.
And O'Phelan's Boy and Smad Place will both be aimed at the Gold Cup.
That's great news.
Which makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Given the events of Friday.
We've got 3 new champions. Mm. New champion hurdle, a new stays hurdle, and a new Gold Cup winner, and they're all going to have rivals next year. This is great.
It's good.
Great news.
It's what we want to see. Mm. Also on Tuesday, what did we have? On Wednesday, I should say, the Queen Mother Champion Chase, Sayed Agrugi.
Performance of the meeting for me.
See, I have always been against Sayed Agrugi. Regular podcasters will know that I'm not the biggest fan of the horse. But it's hard to knock what he keeps doing, which is winning.
He's just matured as a racehorse, hasn't he, mentally? I mean, he's always been highly talented, and when he went chasing, it was heart-in-mouth time. What's he going to take to it? And he took to it like a duck to water, and I'm delighted for the Moors. And it was just great to see. And all that nonsense about him not acting at Cheltenham, well, he certainly put that to bed, didn't he? Mm. One thing that struck me about the post-race interview is Jamie's daughter. I think she'd been taking lessons off Uncle Ryan on deadpan expressions. She's definitely got them perfected.
Well, Ryan Moore, of course, known for his slightly frosty, shall we say, appearance on camera.
But great stuff. Great for the Moors. Great for Gary and family. I mean, it's a real steeped in history racing family and absolutely brilliant. On, best result of the week.
Yeah. Thursday for opening race. So, Takinda Soy.
My biggest... best of the week.
That was in the JLT Novices Chase.
Wasn't the most money I won that week, but it was my biggest single bet of the week, and thankfully he delivered.
Yeah, beating the JP McManus-owned Hugh 600, nearly another sort of error of judgment, if you like, by AP. But,
but he was
got
making
right.
sure he got that one, and he was in. He had to go through the pain barrier to do it.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was, I saw him hobbling back to the weighing room.
Yeah, not good.
No, not
but he deserved
happy.
It, Takinda Soy. He's been a good yardstick all year and running into all the best and still produced the goods when it mattered. Great result, that.
The Ryanair went to Dinast.
Nicely, good to see him come
nicely
back as well.
Done, yeah.
Good to see him
nice
come
horse.
Back. Yeah.
One of those ones that I think it's hard not to like.
Yeah, exactly. And he... you know, one gets away from him and they start knocking him for some reason. Mm. You know, people just don't realise how hard it is to keep these good horses at top tempo all the time. And especially if they're maybe a little bit fragile mentally or whatever, it's so difficult to keep them on the boil the whole time.
The World Hurdle, of course, went to More of That, beating Annie Power. Now, Mick,
do you think it
did indeed? He was on that Fisher's Cross that finished third. Barry Geraghty, once again, the beneficiary of that. Do you think Annie Power maybe didn't quite stay, or do you think More of That is actually very, very classy? Is it a mixture of the two, or is it just that More of That is a stronger stayer than Annie Power?
She certainly didn't get beat by not staying, did she?
Okay.
She stayed into it. She quickened. But he just quickened better.
Mm. I think More of That could be
absolutely
top class.
Wonder how she would have gone in the Champion Hurdles. We'd never know.
Interesting,
wouldn't
it?
We'll never know. But great stuff. It was a great horse race, and she lost nothing in defeat. In fact, if anything, she's probably put up her career best.
And you certainly wouldn't be put off backing her again at that trip.
No way.
Not at all. Okay. Quickly on to Friday. The Triumph Hurdle went to Tiger Roll. Calypto is the unlucky horse in that race, isn't he?
Must be, yeah. Breaking a stirrup leather like that.
Would he have won?
He's hard to tell, isn't it? He didn't seem to lose much momentum.
That's the thing.
Jacob sort of saw the situation quickly, and I mean, it kind of helped, obviously, but it'd be hard to call him an unlucky loser, but he could have done without it. I was well enough pleased with mine in that Guitar Pete. I thought he ran his race and travelled as best horse in the race for much of it. Good race, good triumph, and it augurs well for the future.
I'd agree with that. Very Wood landed the Albert Bartlett. That was a bit of a shock. We had Briar Hill who fell, King's Palace who fell when beaten. A real turn up that one. Very Wood, who I must say, I've got to give him his due here, was tipped up in the paddock by Ken Peterson. There won't be many 33-1 winners that he'll tip up in a year, so that's has to be noted.
I had my stroppy head on here. I just thought Briar Hill was such a stupid short prize. Mm. Look back at the race in Leopardstown where he just beat Apache Jack. Yeah, Apache Jack made him pull out all the stops. 1-6-4, the other's 33-1. Mm-hmm. What do you think I did, Alex?
Yeah. Yeah, well.
And he's run a blinder, hasn't he?
Well, the thing is, it was very, very noticeable that Briar Hill went from around the sort of 5-4, 6-4 mark. Of course, Ruby Walsh fell off Abyssal in the opener and broke his wrist. And as soon as it was announced that he would be stood down for the rest of the day, and you knew that Ruby Walsh wouldn't be on board, the horse immediately drifted out to 2-1, which signifies that clearly punters are not back in blind as such, but.
Influence.
And Mullins and Walsh influence. Are so hard to get away from, I agree with that. But can Ruby Walsh, at this level, influence a race to that degree?
No. Not at the festival.
No.
He can round Ireland and stuff like that, but not here. And it just shows you that it pays to look outside the box sometimes. And you don't have to take these short prices at the Cheltenham Festival.
No.
Nearly every race, Alex, something hit the frame at a big price.
Yeah.
And it just, year in, year out.
Yeah, exactly. The Gold Cup, of course, the feature race.
Brilliant
went
race.
Now, the thing is, I was talking to Darren Owen yesterday, and he was saying that it's wasn't a very good Gold Cup.
Sake.
He was saying that it wasn't very strong. But I'd say, I think it was. I think you've got a past winner there in Bobsworth. You've got the King George winner in Salviniaco Conti. You've got horses that keep coming back and running well, the likes of the Giant Bolster.
RSA winner.
Exactly. I think, in terms of a finish, that's the best finish I've, personally, in my limited career to date, have seen to a Gold Cup.
It was a brilliant horse race. If that doesn't float your boat, you're in the wrong game. And all I'll say to Darren Owen is, if you think that's a bad Gold Cup, you go and try and win one. Because that was a superb race. Brilliant, brilliant. Any one of six could have won that race, jumping the last.
The finish was absolutely
brilliant. Isn't that
brilliant.
Better than seeing one horse outclassing the rest? And
well, I think that's nice to see occasionally.
It is occasionally.
But in terms of a spectacle, you know, I think that's up there with the best finishes I've seen. Granted, I'm only 21, you know.
I'm absolutely delighted for David Russell as well. I mean, they've kept the faith with that horse. He's a second-season novice, RSA winner. His price was an absolute joke. I know his stable had had a quiet time, but they'd had a winner in the week, which suggested they'd turn the corner. Jim Cullity had been saying he was a spring horse and was just coming to himself.
But a worthy winner, though, wasn't he, Lord Windermere?
Brilliant.
Lovely.
Absolutely brilliant. Davey gave him such a peach of a ride, put him to sleep out the back. It was reminiscent of McCoy's ride on Synchronised, wasn't it? You just knew he was going to... Even when he was... Because I'd backed him each way, coming down the hill, I was relaxed because I thought, well, he's going to get the frame from there. Because I knew he was going to stay all the way to the line. And then when he got a good one out of him at the last, I thought, game on. What a race it was from the last.
Unfortunately, we do have to move on, though. Frankly, a little underwhelming going on after Cheltenham. But we've got three races to look at.
The show has to go on.
It does indeed. And well, it's less than 2 weeks to the William Hill Lincoln now as well at Doncaster, isn't it? So we'll be...
The Brocklesby. We'll be talking about the Brocklesby non-stop now for the next fortnight.
We will indeed. See what Bill Turner's got running in that one. We've got the Kempton Park 420 is the first race that we're going to look at. A Class 3 event over 6 furlongs. 10 runners down to go to post in this one. Richard Hughes riding at Kempton on Monday. Am I right in saying that's his first rides back in England this year?
I think he came back for a flying visit.
Okay.
Of course, he wouldn't miss Cheltenham for anything. So he's probably going back to Dubai shortly. But I think he's had the odd ride here and there.
Well, he rides Badalini here for Alabani. Badalini's a horse that... pretty consistent, would have to have a decent chance here.
Well, interesting jockey booking because he replaces Natasha Eaton, who won on Badalini 9 days ago. But Richard has won on him. I think he's only had two previous rides on them. One of them he won on him, and he's only £2 higher than when winning under Natasha the other day. And he's got a great chance again. Trojan Rocket is closely matched with Badalini. He was second that day. Career best is required by Trojan Rocket. He gets £1 for a neck. I just get the feeling that there might be more to come from Badalini, and I would expect him to get the better of Trojan Rocket. But I think they're going to take a chunk out of the market, those two. So I'm going to take a chance on the bottom one, Clear Praise, who Hayley Turner rides for Simon Dow. And got plenty of form here at Kempton. Won off this mark in this month last year, this mark of 80. Ignore the last run. They put the hod on, which is quickly dispensed with, made him far too keen. And I think he can outrun his likely price here, Clear Praise. Handicap has given him a chance. We know he can win off it. And he's going to be an each-way price. So I'll ignore the obvious and go with Clear Praise.
Okay. Clear Praise there in the 420. Next up, the 450, a Class 5 event over 2 miles. 11 runners down to go to post. And in these races at Kempton, it's always the same horses that keep popping up. And
these 2-milers, yeah.
But you get a different result nearly every time.
Exactly.
Whose turn is it this time?
I don't know how many times this year Brampton, Lass and Schellenbar have met. But this race has got a more poignant interest, Alex. Apart from being a Class 5
outside
over the 2 months, this is the return to the saddle of Stephen Drown, who hasn't been seen since that horrific, could have been a career-threatening fall from the ill-fated Jawala at Hong Kong on the 8th of December. And Stephen's back with a couple of rides on the card. And this is the first of them on Wild Desert. So let's wish Stephen well on his comeback ride. I feared for him that day.
Yeah, and he's obviously certainly had his injury problems in the last couple of years. So it would be nice to see him back and firing on all cylinders, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
What do you make to the chances of Wild Desert in this one?
I think he's probably needs to just raise his game a little bit.
He's got the back class, I suppose, in terms of last season.
If you go back, he hasn't been shining over hurdles of late. I think it's a good comeback ride for Stephen, and that's about it, to be honest.
Okay.
We mentioned Chalambar. He's in great form at the moment, loves it here, holding his form well. But he is, even though he's got the services of James Doyle, he does look vulnerable to something that might be a bit better handicapped. Arashi also comes into this with a similar comment, saves his best for Kempton. And although he's £2 higher than his last second, he has won off 65 over course and distance, which is £2 higher than he is running off on Monday. Mm-hmm. Again, the same comments apply, though, to Chalambar. He's vulnerable to something a bit better handicapped, and that something might be Artie Campbell, who's trained by John Llewellyn and Martin Lane, taking the ride. Fairly unexposed, this horse. He used to be trained by David Simcock, and he did show ability for David in his maidens. They tried him over hurdles, highly tried him as well over hurdles. That probably was just a bit too much for him, but an excellent run when we last saw him 53 days ago on his handicap debut when he finished third over this course and distance back in January. And I think the handicap left his mark alone of 70. I think there's more to come from this horse. And I think he's worth taking a chance with. That's number 5, Artie Campbell, in the 450. But let's hope Stephen has a good spin round and gets back into gear.
Artie Campbell ridden by Martin Lane there in the 450. The final race that we'll look at is the 5:20. 6 furlongs of the trip for this Class 6 event. 12 runners going to post. It's the least strong, shall we say, of the three that we're going to look at, Mick.
I was struggling for runners in the others. That was the trouble. At least we've got three each way.
We'll get a nice competitive one here. One that's bound to gather a bit of interest down the bottom here is Last Minute Lisa. Obviously, Richard Hughes riding for Sylvester Kirk. But she's not a horse that has any real recent form, and you'd be needing the booking of Richard Hughes to really galvanise this one.
On the very best of her Irish form, she wouldn't be out of this, but as you say, she's shown next to nothing in three runs for her new connections. And I think Richard having a blowout before he goes back to Dubai myself on this one.
Where would you be looking for the winner then?
It is tough, as you said. I'll start with the shortlist. I'll put Saki's Rose on the shortlist. She's a course and distance winner for Roger Charlton back in 2012 and did run well back here in September, only getting beaten a short head. Only was seen once after that and hasn't been seen for 165 days. But she can win off of this mark. She has her winning rider on board. She's got a modest strike rate, but Baker was on board when she won. And she has gone close off of a break in the past. I wouldn't be surprised to see her on the premises. The other one to mention before I get to the selection is Climax for Tackle, who's fought now £4 lower than his last win. We know he can win here. And he ran well behind New Rich last time. But he'll need all the luck going from that box in 12. And that brings me to New Rich, who I think, from stall one, is the one they've got to beat.
Drawn well.
Only £2 higher than that last win, which is incredibly lenient. And John Fye, the boy Downing, I think, or Fallon Challoner, one of the apprentices who rode it last time. John Fye knows him well, is back on board. And if they decide, and he has made the running in the past, if they decide, right, we're well drawn, let's go for it. Our rivals, one of our main rivals, might not be so well drawn. I think New Rich could be the answer to this.
Okay. It was indeed George Downing last time.
Yeah, and John Fye knows New Rich so well.
But that does, what you would have to factor in there, of course, George Downing does take 5 off.
True enough.
Which does make that penalty slightly bigger. But
yeah, I would countermand that by Fye knowing
Yes, I'd agree.
So well.
Okay then, lovely stuff, mate. Can you just spin us through your three picks at Kempton, please?
Yeah, we're taking a bit of a flyer in the 420 that Clear Praise is back to course and distance winning form. Certainly handicapped to do if he is one off this mark in this month last year. In the 450, the lightly raised Artie Campbell looks poised. I'll be amazed if he can't win handicaps in the 70s, and that third last time suggested that he can. And in the 520, the lucky last, I'm looking to New Rich to make all from box one.
Lovely. Thank you very much for your time, Mick. And enjoy all of the action on Monday.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.